This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Once upon a time, there was a communications agency from Singapore which had big dreams of telling powerful stories. They pulled together passionate communications professionals from all walks of life to craft narratives that build the reputation of brands and help businesses accumulate market share. And as the story goes, this communication agency continued to grow and today has a global presence as it builds and touches others with its powerful stories. And on Open for Business today, we have a chief storyteller from that global communications agency. This is Pranav Rastogi from Redhill. Pranav, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Audrey. Thanks for having me.
I don't know about my storytelling skills. I did the best I could. You know, you're the storyteller in this mix. So I'm just going to leave the rest to you, okay?
The difference is you tell stories directly. I tell stories on behalf of my clients.
Yeah, yes. So tell me about Redhill. You were not one of the founding members, but when did you come into the mix and what has made you stick with Redhill all these years?
Right. So I joined Redhill in April 2017. At that point, I think we were about six people in Singapore and I think about maybe 12 people across a couple of markets in Southeast Asia. From day one, the thing that I really has led me to be here for so long has been the culture. We think of ourselves as problem solvers. It's a very fast-paced environment. We're a very open team. We're a very young team, but it really is that whole sort of concept of doing everything that we can to make sure that our clients' problems are solved and make sure that we're delivering the right results for our clients. I think that's kind of the main thing that's really kept me and really made every day exciting. Of course, the other things in terms of having a great team to work with, and also the tremendous success and the speed of growth that we've had, that's obviously very exciting. But if you don't have that initial, the culture and the right culture, if you don't have the right attitudes, I think the rest of it is just, a bit of a bonus.
So the Redhill headquarters is in Singapore, but you now have a presence in other countries in the region, apart from Malaysia, and also all over the globe, I understand.
Yeah, that's right. So interestingly, the company, when Jacob and Sureka, the two co-founders, they had the idea of starting the company, it was actually at my parents' dining table in KL in Malaysia. So it's, you can say, I guess, the idea of Redhill sort of was seeded over there. But yeah, from day one, the plan is always to be global. It was never just to be sort of a boutique agency in one market. So I think Malaysia was probably the second office that we opened. We're now in about 15 countries. So the two latest countries that we've just opened in are in the UAE, in Abu Dhabi, and South Korea in Seoul. So that brings us to, 15 offices now.
And I'm just curious here, how is the Singapore PR scene different from that of Malaysia?
I think it's quite similar in many ways. One big difference is obviously the media landscape. The media landscape in Singapore tends to be much smaller. Malaysia has many more sort of national titles and newspapers and magazines as well. So I think that's definitely one difference. But in general, I think broadly, I think communications is the same no matter where you are. The core tenets of communications and the base of what you need to do and base of how you need to communicate is still fairly similar. It's just different in terms of execution and different in terms of local context and local mindsets, right? I think that's kind of what tends to be different. Otherwise, in terms of the core pillars of how we would work and how we operate in the two different markets, it's pretty similar.
Right. And what is the PR market like in Malaysia? Now, apart from proximity, why choose to scale to Malaysia first?
Many different reasons. Proximity was definitely number one. Number two was, I had some level of understanding with the market, obviously having grown up in KL for many years and my parents being, living there. As well. And I think the other one was just opportunity. I think a lot of our growth has been very organic. we were lucky that we had clients that trusted us here. And as those clients grew and as those clients wanted to look at Malaysia and wanted to look at Indonesia, we grew with them. So we set up our offices in Malaysia, we set up offices in Indonesia, we hired a local team, and we started servicing them there as well. So I think a lot of it was because our clients were growing so much that we decided to sort of grow with them across, and Malaysia just happened to be the first opportunity that we had to do that.
You work with a lot of tech startups and enterprises here in Malaysia. Would you call this a specialization, or was it just the way the cards were dealt?
I think a bit of both. Our first client was a venture capital firm. And then our first, maybe our next sort of 5 or 6 clients were venture capital firms as well, because of the good work that we did with the first one. And then naturally, they would introduce us to a lot of their tech startups and their portfolio companies as well. So part of it was just the deck we were dealt. But I think once we identified that that was a very fast-growing market, especially when you say like 2015, 2016, that whole ecosystem was really taking off in Southeast Asia, we made sure that we would sort of use that to our advantage and really try to go deeper into that sector as well. But actually, one of our first clients was also an ice cream brand. So we had all those tech startups and we had venture capital firms, and we also had one of the very large ice cream brands. So we did have right from the start a bit of a diverse pool of clients, and we also had free ice cream in our office, which was great, great to taste, but not so great for the waste.
What a boost that would have been in the office. So is there a secret to doing things right in the Malaysian markets? What does it take for companies to be able to get their stories out there?
I think there's a few things. I think the part that I think most people falter with and don't necessarily handle well is having a consistent and a good strategy. I think that tends to be, in my experience, where a lot of people tend to sort of lose out on. And that's also quite, so once you, if you look back at a certain, if you study the communications that a certain company has done over the past few months or a couple of years, and you tend to see messages keep changing every so often, depending on the flavor of the month or depending what's happening in other places. And I think one of the biggest things is that in general, there isn't that willingness to stick to a strategy and to have a long-term strategy. The message tends to keep changing over short periods of time. And I think that's definitely one thing that we've learned, and one thing that we advise our clients is that to really have a consistent and strong sort of messaging framework and strategy in place to make sure that you can actually put that message out consistently over time. The way that I, we like to think about PR is that think of it as, a fitness instructor. So your end goal may be that you want to get 6-pack abs, or you want to, gain biceps. But you're not going to do it overnight. You're not going to do it just by 1 month of training, or 1 month of putting out a message. It's something that you have to keep working on consistently, and something that you have to keep doing over time to end up seeing results. And I think once you think of it in that way, I think you see those are the brands or the clients that tend to be much more successful in getting their messages out to the right audiences.
So Pranav, Redhill's growth across regions, you're now at about 80 people around the world and 30 in Singapore, your headquarters. And from what I understand, you have doubled in revenue almost every year. Will this year with COVID-19 affect that impressive piece of statistics?
So I think COVID-19 has obviously been a challenge for businesses all over the world. I think in the initial month when lockdown started hitting, we did have sort of a little period of time where we paused and we started looking through and trying to make sure and then put in sort of our business continuity plans. And I think it was important that we did that because did have some clients in the hospitality sector and even airlines and so on and so forth who were very badly affected by COVID. But I think we were in a pretty good place in the sense that we have a lot of companies and clients who have been relatively unaffected by what's happened, and who maybe have even doubled down a little bit more on PR and communications because they can't do events, they are not getting the same results from marketing initiatives. So you know, it's when you look back now, a few months later, we've actually won over 30 new clients in the last 6 months, and we've hired about 13 new people across different markets. So I think we, you know, the initial month we really sort of hunkered down and we put in really strong business continuity plans, and it's just been a testament to the team that they've really been able to execute those over the last 6 months. I'll give you a quick example. So we're split into four business units, and one of those business units had their best ever quarter in the quarter that was April, May, June, which was literally the month after lockdown started. So despite, you know, they traditionally work on a lot of luxury and lifestyle clients, but despite everything that happened and, you know, how hard the sector was hit, they were able to diversify. They were able to, you know, find new ways of bringing in revenue, and they've done spectacularly well, you know, over that time.
All right, it's time for a quick break, but when we come back, we delve into the evolution of the PR industry. Stay tuned. This is Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Bribe-free ministers? BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj. Managing Director of Red Hill, Pranav Rastogi, is online with me right now. And we are talking about the business of storytelling and being a global communications agency. Now, Pranav, the PR industry has evolved rapidly over these last few years. You know, we live in a borderless world today, but there's also a need to keep things local, customizable or personal, if you will. What would you say have been the biggest catalyst to change in the industry over these last 5 years or so, aside from technological advances?
I think the biggest thing is just a change in the way that agencies are approaching PR and communications. A few years ago, the main names that you would hear of were you know, the large sort of global players. And I think what's happened in the last few years is that you've seen a rise of, you know, local agencies in each of the different markets across, you know, maybe we can just say Southeast Asia as an example. And you see the power of having that local context and having people who understand what resonates with the audiences. Gone are the days where you would, you know, just transplant an entire team from another country and put them into you know, Malaysia or Singapore and say, okay, you're now our Malaysia office or you're now our Singapore office. You know, those days are long gone. And without having local teams who can tell local stories, you know, you're not going to go anywhere. I think that's the first one. And the second one is that on the client side also, I think there's been a change in terms of clients' understanding of what they want and clients' expectations of what they want from an agency. A lot of large clients that we work with have gone away from, you know, larger global agencies because they're looking at having teams that can be more dedicated to them, or who can handle a larger variety of services, who can maybe have less sort of who can respond to things faster and who are more agile as well. So I think that's we've seen over the last few years the rise of, you know, smaller local agencies who've now become sort of mid-sized agencies and who are, you know, now growing across regions as well.
Hmm. So how has this changed what customers require or expect of a PR firm that they engage with? Because you just mentioned a large variety of services, right? So are there like new services that have come into the mix over these last few years or so?
There's a couple of things. I think one, communications has become a lot more integrated. You can't look at things in silos anymore. You know, in the past, you might have had agencies who were looking after your digital marketing or your social media marketing, and then you have teams who are looking after events, you have an agency who's looking after PR, and maybe an agency looking after media buys. I think especially with, you know, the world going digital, and this has really been, you know, pushed even further with the pandemic over the last few months, people are looking at integrated communications and looking at communications in a much more wholesome way, and looking for people who can handle all of those different parts of it at once, rather than having to deal with multiple stakeholders to handle different parts and silos. So I think that's been the main thing. And the second thing is that, you know, I think people are moving away from, you know, the way that agencies used to sort of you know, write down timesheets and map out the amount of time that they've worked on different clients. I think nowadays people, you know, clients really care about, okay, I have this problem statement, how are you going to solve it? And what is the, what are the results that I'm going to see? Rather than, okay, well, you know, this is going to take me 10 hours to do it. It's going to take me 15 hours to do it. I think those days are gone. And I think things are becoming a lot more results and outcomes driven.
Right. So what does success look like to players in the PR industry?
Our success is really our client success, right? So if a client, has an objective, you know, if it is to raise awareness about, let's just say, for example, 5G networks, right? We work with a client who's very involved in that space. Then, you know, we'd be looking at certain metrics that would capture how their awareness has changed or how awareness may have improved over the last few months. For startups that we work with, a lot of their successes, have they reached, you know, investors? Have they got their message and are they putting out their messages in front of the investor, you know, the investor landscape? And over there, it's kind of, you know, to see when that startup goes out to raise money, is there sort of a baseline awareness of who they are? Are the people that they're speaking to sort of already recognize an understanding that, or do they already have an understanding of who they are? So it really depends on client to client, and it depends really on their key objectives that each client has. I think the other thing, you know, going back to your last question, the other thing is that sort of one solution fits all sort of thing, which used to happen a few years ago, has also gone, and you really have to tailor objectives and, you know, communication strategy based on each of the clients that you're working.
And then, of course, this year, COVID-19, it's been injected into the mix. How has the pandemic impacted the industry and its stakeholders?
I think it's had a few impacts. I think, you know, we quickly touched upon the business side of the impact earlier, but I think the part that's very relevant as well is just the personal side of it. So you've gone from an industry that is extremely social, that is really based on social interaction, whether, you know, within teams meeting every day, brainstorming and just chatting, and then also working very closely with the media and with clients as well. So almost overnight, you know, all that social interaction in person was cut off, and you know, you're then just looking at a screen and you're trying to deal with writing things on message, or, you know, maybe just doing like a few occasional phone calls. So I think that was one of the biggest impacts, and I think that would impact, you know, the communications industry very much, because you're cutting all in-person communication, you know, for almost a few months. So I think that was one of the bigger biggest issues that people had to deal with, and that, you know, affected people's mental health. It affected their ability, their productivity, their ability to you know, manage their sort of household and their work at the same time. And also, I think what it's also done, the pandemic's also done, is that it's given even more traction to a lot of sort of digital and social media platforms. And that can be dangerous, at least in my opinion, that can be dangerous, because I think we've all seen the pitfalls of social media and of, you know, fake news or sort of incorrect news passing and really being amplified on social media. And as people started getting more sort of secluded and lonely during the initial months of the lockdown, during COVID, I think people took to social media even more to get news and to get updates. And it's really perpetuated this entire, you know, culture of immediate reactions to things and always having to have an immediate opinion to things. And that's really that's very tough. It's very tough to build trust and to build you know, strong sort of trust with your stakeholders when you're operating that space and when you're interacting and trying to do everything in a very immediate manner. So I think that's been one of the biggest impacts. And unfortunately, I think you know, that's going to be the way things go forward, unless there is you know, widespread change in the way social media platforms operate, which I know they're discussing, you know, in the US and various other countries. I think unfortunately that's going to be something that we'll have to deal with quite regularly.
Right. And speaking of looking forward, no, do you have an outlook for the communications industry, the PR industry, for the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think communications is always going to be extremely important. No matter if you are, you know, a brand, a business, an individual, a government, you always have something to say and you have a message that you need to put out. And you have stakeholders that need to take in that message and then hopefully act on that message, whether it's buying a new product or believing in a certain policy. So communications is not going to go away. I do think that the way that we approach things will change slightly. I think, like we mentioned earlier, things are going to be much more integrated. We're going to see the rise of new communications platforms. We'll probably see the rise of some of this experimental, what is currently experimental technology, maybe sort of like AR and maybe even VR over the next few years, especially as new technology like 5G comes in. But I think the thing that we will see the most is that we will see brands stand up more for the values that they believe in over the next few years. And I think this has really been impacted by a variety of things that have happened, in the US with a lot of the protests and other things that, a lot of people have started speaking out and using social media to their advantage. And I think a lot of brands, some of them have done it in a very forced way, but a lot of them have done it in a very sort of genuine and sort of a way where you see that they actually feel strongly about issues. And I think over the next 5 years, we'll see a lot more brands and people stand up for values, especially and use social media to communicate that, and use social media over other platforms to communicate that.
Right. And just before we go, Pranav, what about the outlook for Redhill? What's the game plan for the next 5 years?
Continue growing. I think that's definitely one of our main priorities. As you mentioned before, we've grown, we've almost doubled every single year. And even this year with the pandemic, we just closed our financial year and we're expecting to have grown larger than we did the year before. It won't quite be double. But as things are sort of settling down and as, we're coming back to this new normal, I think our plans are to really continue and double down on this growth that we've had, to also hire some experienced and new sort of senior members of the teams in the variety of different markets, and we've just launched two new markets. So we're really excited to see what we can do in the UAE and also in South Korea. And we do have other markets that we have and other sort of interesting things that we have in the pipeline, which I'm sure when those happen, we can talk about it again at that time.
Thank you for that, Pranav. I've been speaking with Pranav Rastogi from Redhill. Now, Pranav, if our listeners out there want more information on Redhill, where can they go?
They can go to redhill.world. That's our website. We have sort of a contact form. You can find me on LinkedIn, on Facebook. You can send me an email, whatever platforms you choose. I'm always happy to speak to people in the industry, whether it's just a friendly chat or even it's just to brainstorm some ideas.
And if you missed out on any part of this show, the podcast of this interview will be up on our website, bfm.my, within the hour. You can also catch up on all our podcasts on the BFM app, on iTunes, and on Spotify. Just look for Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Pranav from Redhill, thank you for listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.